Hello again, this is Cyril Stevens from Christmas Valley. I want to address an issue that nobody has asked me the question for a lot of years, but I want to address an issue that is very important to us. Years ago, the pastor that I grew up with, he was established in our church in February, and I was born in the same year, 1931, in October. So I only ever knew this man to be my pastor. I only ever knew him as the minister of the gospel. He was the only milestone between me and heaven. He was the only direction and pointer that I had all my life until I was 18 years old and went into the army. And it's very interesting to notice one or two things. I visited him when he was 91 years old. I asked him different questions about ministry. And one of the things he said was he knew he had enough material to preach for the first 3 months of his ministry, but after that he wondered how he would ever keep up. And all those years he preached the Word of God and was faithful to the Word of God, and he obviously never missed a Sunday, not even during the war years when we were rushing off to shelters at the sound of the air raid warnings and so on. He was a godly man, a very fine man. Now, the apostle is talking to Timothy, and in the second letter of Timothy, and the fourth chapter and the second verse, he says some things to Timothy that he wants Timothy to understand. And these are the words that he leaves with Timothy. He says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof the ministry, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, and have finished my course, and have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Do thy diligence to come shortly to me, and so on. Now, the words I want to leave with you today is preach the word. Preach the word. My wife brought me an article that Sidlow Baxter had written some 60 years ago. I and another pastor of my acquaintance, we love each other very much in the Lord. We have been discussing this particular point of view for a very long time. And he in particular, because he has a pulpit that he's preaching from every Sunday, has been teaching these truths. Sidlow Baxter wrote this: none who lived in war-battered Britain when the Nazi and fascist enemies at last capitulated will ever forget with what stirred emotions victory was celebrated. Many could only express their relief and reaction in tears. And all over the land, large gatherings in churches expressed deep gratitude to God. Yet even greater than the greatest physical victory ever celebrated is the wonderful event which claims our grateful embrace at this present time. We are at the period of the year up to 7 weeks after Easter. That is last Sunday. We call in this country Memorial Weekend. He says here, when we remember more particularly the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on that historical day of Pentecost 2,000 some years ago, all Christendom looks back to that new thing in history as the organic beginning of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ and the present age of grace. In England, where annual religious observances have largely followed the calendar of the Anglican Church, the season is Whitsuntide, Whit, W-H-I-T, being short for white, because formerly it was the custom on that Sunday for all the children and many of the grown-ups to dress all in white. In America, the season seems little observed. But whether the annual season be observed or not, it is especially important for us in these days to remember and consider that long ago Pentecost and its abiding meanings to us, for we do not think nearly as much as we ought about the coming of the person and work of the Holy Spirit. So then, in this and the next two meditations that I shall write, let us prayerfully reflect again on the historic value of Pentecost when, in revolutionizing fullness of the Holy Spirit, came upon the first band of Christians as they lingered on in united prayer way back yonder in old Jerusalem. The first captivating fact is that it was an invasion of earth by the power from heaven. It was the coming Holy Spirit to operate among men in a new and fuller way. He came to be the dynamic life, vitalizing and empowering the true church, the church which consists of all the spirituality reborn, people who have become born again. He came to be the power to convert and regenerate men and sanctify Christian believers and to curb the powers of evil and to make Christian prayer the mightiest weapon on earth. That power is still with us and still operating on the earth. Why did Hitler fail and perish when outwardly it seemed as though he must surely go on conquering and to conquer? It was because behind armies, navies, air fleets, and other outward factors, a far mightier Christian spiritual invisible forces energized by the Holy Spirit proved in the end too strong for him. Why must communism fail and perish in the same way? Because Jesus rose, lives, reigns, and controls, because he has sent forth the Holy Spirit, whose descent in fullness was signalized on that long-ago day of Pentecost. We're living in days when the desire is very strong for some big reunion of the religious denominations in Christendom. The idea is that such a imposing super church would wield influence which we do not now have. But let us never forget that the only real power of Christianity is the flame of Pentecost which burns through it. That's the end of what Sidlo Baxter had to say about the coming of the Holy Spirit. If you had been in England when I was a young man, you would have shared with me and with others the great preaching that went on Whit Sunday and over the Whitsun holiday, we called it. The preaching started in some places on Friday evening and then went on until Monday noon. Other churches and other organizations would start Saturday morning and run through Monday noon. There was such a lot of preaching going on, such a lot of teaching, and such a lot of singing and joy, comparing what the Holy Spirit was doing in the land in which we lived. Now here, Paul is saying to young Timothy, as the young preacher, preach the word. It is so easy not to. Preach the word. You see, there are those who have a form of godliness, but they deny the power of it. If you look over in the third chapter of 2 Timothy, You'll find in the third chapter, in verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. There are many people who don't understand this piece of scripture. They think the Holy Spirit is going to bless them no matter what, and he won't, and he doesn't, until we acknowledge him as the third person of the Trinity. We may identify easily with the first 8 verses of chapter 3, but there are many things there for us to discuss, but not now. Notice in verse 10 of chapter 3, the Apostle Paul says, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, my charity, my patience, my persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, and Lystra, what persecutions I endured. But out of them all the Lord delivered me." Whatever happens to you as a young pastor or an older pastor, understand that our life, our doctrine, our sufferings, all the things that take place in our lives are to produce in us something that's in verse 13, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." We need to stop and think. Don't try to be modern. Don't try to be up to date. Don't allow the church to bring in the outside world and to foul up what God is doing. A lady came to me and was complaining about her husband. Now, it was true that he was a bit of an awkward fellow to live with, and he was difficult at times, and he had opinions that he didn't mind announcing very loudly and at great length. But the lady was complaining about him and complaining. She stopped for breath at one point and she said, "What can I do?" I said, "Stop being disloyal to him." She was shocked that I should say such a thing. She said, "I have every right to these reactions that I have been exhibiting. How can you say I'm disloyal?" I said, "Because you're discussing them with people. I'm not the only person you've discussed him with. You're being disloyal. You're undermining the relationship between the two of you. And you're taught not to do that. The apostle says in Ephesians, wives, adapt to your husbands. Wives, adapt to your husbands." And in today's day, that is almost a point of view that surely is not right. God didn't really mean it. God jolly well did mean it. And he expects us to live in what he meant. He didn't speak foolishly. But if we look at verse 15 of the third chapter of 2 Timothy, we read, we are to continue in the word. It means to persevere in the word. We are from mind to heart. This is one of the transitions that we don't easily make. We fill our mind with all sorts of wonderful thinking, and we come up and we say, "Now that," and we say this by implication, I would say, about 95% of the time, but we say, "Now that is the real teaching of this piece of the Word of God." Most likely we're right, but unless that teaching and understanding goes from our mind to our heart, we're like sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. We're like a gong that sounded, "Come and eat." I lived at one point in a boarding house when I was at college, and the lady that ran the house used to have this great piece of, I think it was brass, and she bashed it when it was the time to have food. Well, there were four or five of us students in a house. We came rushing down and we'd sit down and we had to go through all the graces and so on before we could eat. But we were young men and we were starving by the time we got to our meals. She beat the gong. Now, when you accept something that is brilliantly written or wonderfully spoken by the pastor, the preacher, or the author, make sure that you understand it's the Holy Spirit that is beating the gong and it's Jesus that is saying, come and dine. Come and dine. Verse 15 says that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Understand something. No matter what you're offered by all sorts of other teaching, you will only find salvation is offered through the Lord Jesus Christ. Unless we come to God the Father by him, we will not see the Father, we will not reach the throne, we will only have something tucked in our mind which may be great and gracious, but it will not necessarily change our lives. In this verse, persevere in the word, from as a child thou hast known the holy scriptures which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. This is the first piece of the learning. You've got to understand, without salvation, the Bible is a book. That's it. And the giving of the Holy Spirit is something that strange and something we can talk about, but that's all. You see, we are filled with natural affection. We break truces. We are false accusers. We are fierce and despisers of those that are good. We're traitors. We're high-minded. We're lovers of pleasure more than the lovers of God, having a form of godliness, verse 5, but denying the power thereof. From such, says the apostle, turn away, turn away. You know when you've turned away. Your back will be to that is seducing you. You will be facing the brilliance of the holiness and the perfection of the Lord Jesus. Turn away. Look at verse 16 here in this third chapter. For the apostle is teaching this young man, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness. Now, here is something that we do not spend enough time in. You see, the scriptures will teach us what to do. Prophets and apostles did not speak of themselves, but what was received from the Lord Jesus. He was and is. Every scripture in God is breathed upon us. Jesus is the breath of God. This Holy Spirit is the breath of God. This lovely hymn, O breath of God, come sweeping through us. Renew thy church to meet this hour. This beautiful songs and hymns that discuss, and the poetry is electrifying and probes deep into our souls. Understand what God is doing. He is saying, when you understand that scripture is God-breathed, then you will discover that it is profitable. What's it profitable for? For reproof. Why should it convict me? Because within me is a conviction of sin, and I need the sin to be convicted. I need God not just to point out my sin, but to reveal to me afresh that my sin is judged and I am clean. Every piece of me is now clean by the blood of the Lamb. It is so important. You can run through this piece and understand the teaching quite easily. It's important for you and for me to refresh our minds and hearts. But God has given us the ability to be inspired, greatly inspired by the Holy Spirit. which will come through the truth of his word. As Timothy was going to grow older in the word, and as he was going to present the various parts of scripture to people, it was important that this young man learn to preach the word. The part of the preaching that was tremendously interesting and important to him is found for us right here, because this word is profitable. Now, I want to make a good profit on the sale of my house. I want to make a good profit on the sale of my car, and so on. We know what profit is. But to make a good profit of the word of God means that the word of God is so embedded in me that I can share its profitability for correction and instruction in righteousness. The word of God teaches us this. Every scripture is God-breathed, even by his inspiration, and profitable for instruction, for reproof and conviction of sin, for correction of error and discipline in obedience, and for training in righteousness, that is, in holy living in conformity to God's will in thought, in purpose, and in action. I want to say this. The time is quickly coming when Jesus shall come again. And it's quickly obvious that we're nearer to that happening than we used to be. But we need to understand that those of us that preach the word of God must understand that people need to be caused to turn to righteousness and holy living, conformity to God's word, to God's will, to God's thought, his purpose, and his action. Profitable. You see, a Christian is not just a Christian in name, or because he believes a list of doctrines, or he can recite the Apostles' Creed, or what some people call the prayer that Jesus gave us, our Father, which art in heaven. We pray these things, we read these things, we recite these things. That does not do anything for us, because if we're not careful, we're very soon taken up with vain repetition. That is, we just recite things. One day we were sitting at the table and I asked my youngest daughter, "Will you pray before we eat? We always say grace before a meal." And she said, "Nuss and these, the blessing, please, amen." I said, "No, hold on, I don't know what you said. So would you please say it quietly, deliberately, and carefully, so that it's not just a joke?" And she said, "On us and these, thy blessing, please, amen." Then we had a long discussion about this prayer. We had other people say, "Through the teeth and over the gums, look out stomach, here it comes." And people think that's clever. It may be rhythmic, but it's a vain repetition and it's not pleasing to God. We need to be very careful when we come for prayer, whether it be saying grace before a meal or at the end of the day or the beginning of the day, or whenever it is. We need to understand that we walk into the Holy of Holies. We need to understand we walk into the very presence of God. And if you want to know the presence of God, then preach the word. Those of you that don't preach, listen to that preached word of God, because it has a tremendous effect upon our lives. Now, in closing, I want to say this to those of you who are preachers. It's not always convenient to be preaching, and we don't always clean our minds and hearts from the things of this world, and we don't always spend the time necessary to find out what it is that God would say to our congregation, wherever that congregation is and however large it might possibly be. A friend of mine was to go and preach at a very large hall. There were thousands of people there, and he stood up to preach, and all he could say, this is what he told me, Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Up to this time, almost a week there were hardly any conversions and hardly anybody got right with the Lord. He sat down, having said basically for 20-some or 30-some minutes, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. That's all he said. And he said, I couldn't understand what I was listening to. I was listening to myself repeating the word of God, and yet it was the Holy Spirit's leading and direction. At the end, when he said amen, hundreds of people received Christ. He was totally baffled. And that's when we had the conversation about it, and I was able to help him understand that it was the word of God in the power of the Holy Spirit that was being spoken by a witless man to the glory and honor of Christ. So people came to know Jesus. Well, I must stop, but understand this, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We must preach the word of God when it's convenient and not convenient, in season and out of season. And we must reprove people, rebuke people, exhort, which means encourage people, with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. We've reached that day today. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus Christ, we pray for those that would reject you, misunderstand the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, and therefore move mountains of garbage in their minds that become the filling of the sandwich between us and God. Oh, dear Father of Heaven, have mercy on us this day. Bless us this day. And bless our dear country. And bless, we beseech you, with the presence of Jesus and the power of your Spirit, every person listening. We ask this in your name. Amen. Hey, thank you for listening. Goodbye. God bless you.